now back to Boston Blackie. For a reason he chose to keep to himself, Charlie Kingston, Blackie's millionaire friend, asked Blackie to do anything in his power to see and talk to a man named Sam Bellows. Unable to break into Bellows' home, Blackie came to Inspector Faraday with a story that he had killed Bellows in his home and should be taken to the scene of the crime. But Faraday suspected Blackie's confession was a trick and went to Bellows' home alone. There he found Bellows, murdered. Faraday then tried to arrest Blackie for murder, but Blackie, as usual, escaped. It is early the next morning. As we return to our story, Blackie and Charlie Kingston, dressed as policemen, are climbing the steps of Sam Bellows' house.
Are you sure we'll get by the policeman at the top of the stairs?
Look at your clothes. We're policemen, too, remember? Mm-hmm.
Won't this police guard recognize you?
Not with a visor and my cap pulled down.
Come on in, boys. Inspector sent here to relieve us?
The relief men are coming up in a few minutes. Faraday sent up a special detail, okay?
Sure, go on in.
Come on, Charlie.
Right.
Hey, wait, I'll open the door first.
Thanks. Who else is here?
Only Thompson. He's upstairs.
Okay, thanks. Well, that wasn't hard, was it?
No, but I'm not used to this sort of thing.
You'll live longer if you don't try to get used to it, Charlie. Let's have a look around.
What do you expect to find?
Something that will lead us to Bella's murderer and take me off the spot.
Well, let's hope we find it.
Say, Charlie, look at this crumpled paper on the floor.
Yeah. Seems to be a note of some kind.
Let's have a look at it.
There seems to be two different kinds of handwriting on it. As if one person were asking questions and the other answering them.
Faraday wrote the questions. I know that scrawl of his anywhere.
Who wrote the answers?
Someone who calls himself a maintenance man. He says he knows nothing, but mentions a financial advisor named Frank Lewis and a nephew, Larry Addington.
I see.
Faraday obviously met someone here in this house who could neither hear nor talk and had to write everything down.
I suppose his information is useless, though.
Not at all. A nephew and a financial advisor might be a perfect combination for a murder. I think I'll go up and see that advisor as soon as we're through here.
Mm-mm. Someone's coming in the front door.
Probably the relief guard.
That special detail you sent in the house now, Inspector Faraday.
Oh.
Special detail? What are you talking about?
Oh, this is fine. Come on, Charlie, out the back door.
What if there isn't a back exit?
Well, in that case, we'll get up speed, put our heads down, and make one.
Yes?
Frank Lewis?
Yes.
I'm Special Police Investigator John Jones. You were Sam Bellows' financial advisor, weren't you?
Yes. I've had one visit from the police this morning, Inspector Faraday. I told him everything I could.
Faraday sent me back to ask a few more questions, if you don't mind.
Well, I mind because I'm busy, but I suppose there's nothing I can do. What else do you want to know?
More about the will.
I told Inspector Faraday everything I know. The night before last, Bellows changed his will. Formerly, the entire estate was to be left to Larry Addington, his nephew, with the exception of $5,000 to Ben Atkins, the deaf and dumb handyman in Bellows' home.
Who did the new will benefit?
Atkins again for $5,000, but instead of the remainder of the estate, about $100,000 being left to the nephew, Bellows chose to leave it to some charity, a dog and cat hospital.
Any reason for doing this?
Just so his nephew wouldn't get it. Cigarette?
No, thanks.
Don't mind if I smoke?
Of course not. You say the will was changed the night before last and Larry Addington, the nephew, was cut out. Did Addington know this?
I don't see how it was possible. Bellows and his nephew seldom spoke to each other.
Then it's possible, isn't it, that Addington killed his uncle thinking he'd get his money?
Possibly. He's in constant trouble living above his means. He needs money.
Say, you smoke more of a cigarette than I thought.
Why do you say that?
These cigarettes in this ashtray here. I doubt if they've been puffed more than two or three times.
Oh, they were left there by a client of mine who was here just a few minutes ago.
Nervous, huh?
Very. Look what he does to paper matches. Takes the ends and rips them up the middle. Is there anything else I can tell you about the Sam Bellows matter?
Yes. Where can I get in touch with Larry Addington?
Larry lives at the Baker House.
Thanks.
You think Larry might have killed his uncle, believing he was still mentioned in the will?
Yes, I do. And I have an idea that you're a little leery of Larry yourself.
You have to stand still, Mr. Addington.
Well, hurry up, will you, Martin?
I'm trying to hurry, Mr. Addington, but I can't face the coat. You don't stand still.
I don't like to stand still. Oh, we're going to be interrupted again. Come in.
Tom, I told you not
Larry
to...
Larry Addington in here?
I'm Larry Addington.
Good. I'd like to talk to you.
Yeah, some other time. I'm busy having a fitting. Did my man let you come in here?
Please, Mr. Addington, stand still.
Where do you intend going in that tweed, Addington? To a racetrack?
Your opinion is uncalled for, and so is your presence.
Here, Mr. Addington, how do you like the way the coat hangs now?
Well, I guess it's all right.
Why all the new clothes, Addington?
Anything wrong with a few new suits? Since my uncle was killed, I'm rich.
Are you?
Yes. I want to look the part of a man who's just come into a fortune.
Well, look the part if you want to, Addington, but you haven't come into a dime.
Wait till you read the paper.
Wait till you read the will.
My uncle left his money to me. Mr. Martin.
Yes?
Don't just stand there. Don't have all day.
Oh, I was interested in this man's remark about your uncle's will.
What remark?
Forgive me, but he said...
I said Addington here was completely cut out of his uncle's will.
What? That's not true. I saw my uncle's will last week.
Well, you should have seen it last night or the night before last, just before he was killed.
He changed it?
He made a slight amendment, Addington.
He cut me off?
Without a cent.
How do you know?
I just talked with Frank Lewis. He was your uncle's financial advisor.
Why would he tell you anything?
I have what you might call a slight interest in your uncle's murder.
You aren't suggesting that
if someone had suggested to you that your uncle was going to change his will, you might have killed him before he had had a chance to change it.
I didn't know his will was going to be changed.
That'll be hard to prove.
Well, just try to prove I killed him.
You know something, pal? That's exactly what I'm going to do. Charlie, this is Blackie.
Yes, Blackie. Mary said you were going to see Bellow's financial advisor, the nephew Addington. How have things worked out?
All right so far. I just left the nephew.
Is he your man?
I don't know. He thought he was going to get his uncle's money, so he might have killed him. The person we've overlooked is the deaf and dumb handyman Faraday found in the Bellows house when he discovered the body.
How could he be involved?
He was left $5,000 in every will Bellows wrote. He might have discovered that Bellows had cut the nephew off and killed his employer, thinking maybe suspicion would be all on the angry nephew.
Well, I suppose a man of his means would kill for $5,000, wouldn't he?
Charlie, there have been murders for 5 cents. I think I'm going to get some more dope on that handyman.
Blackie, you can get back into Bellow's house. Faraday will have his policeman checking everyone who comes within a block of the place.
I know it. I've been ducking Faraday so much today, I'm getting stoop-shouldered. Is Mary there?
No, she isn't.
I thought I could send her into Bellow's house as a newspaper reporter. She could get by Faraday's men with dark glasses and a new hairdo.
I know where you can reach her. She just left here to take Happy down to the Mayfair Dog Hospital for a general checkup.
Oh, thanks, Charlie. I'll go down there and meet her. Maybe I even belong with the dogs after the way Faraday's been hounding me.
Something I can do for you, sir?
Yes. Is there a young lady here with a rather large dog? She brought him in for a checkup, I think.
No, there isn't.
This is the Mayfair Animal Hospital, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, I guess I got here too soon. Mind if I wait?
Not at all.
Is there a chair or a bench around
Perhaps
here?
Perhaps you'd like to wait in my office.
Oh, thanks.
This way. Think that chair will be comfortable?
Thank you.
No, I think I've seen your picture in the paper.
Strange what papers will do for news sometimes.
Yes, you certainly look familiar. I'm Seth Peters. Cigarette?
No, thanks.
Mind if I smoke?
Not at all. There isn't by any chance another Mayfair Animal Hospital in town, is there?
Not that I know of.
Mary and Happy must have been delayed on the way down here.
What'd you say?
Nothing.
Oh.
Do you, always do that? Huh? Take those matches and tear them.
Nervous habit. I try to break it, but I can't.
Oh, I see.
Would you mind pushing the ashtray over this way?
Of course not.
I'll put this cigarette out.
How's your friend, Frank Lewis?
Who?
Frank Lewis, the financial advisor.
I don't know any Frank Lewis. Why do you ask?
That cigarette of yours makes me ask.
My cigarette?
Nothing wrong with it?
Why, no.
You put it out rather suddenly.
Oh, I never take more than 3 or 4 drags.
And you don't know Frank Lewis?
Oh. Does he have the same habit?
No, but you're lying when you say you don't know him. He has a client who does the same thing with matches and cigarettes. You.
Well, now, here.
Lewis said Sam Bellows left his money to a dog and cat hospital. I think if I looked at Bellows' will, I'd find that it was this place of yours.
I don't know about that.
You said you didn't know Frank Lewis. Yet you were up in his office this morning.
It's not true.
The ashtray in his desk was filled with torn matches and cigarettes barely smoked. You own this place?
Yes, I do. That doesn't mean a thing.
It means plenty. It means you killed Bellows for his money and then went to Lewis to collect. The fact that he denied you'd been there makes him part of the scheme.
Just because I own this place, you think I killed Bellows, huh?
It'd be worth your while.
Well, I don't own this place. I merely front for the man who does.
All right, who's the real owner?
Frank Lewis, he's the man you want. Didn't even know Bellows was dead until Lewis called me to his office this morning.
Come on, Peters. You're going down to police headquarters.
But I tell you, I didn't kill anyone. Lewis did. He forced Bellows to change his will night before last, then killed him.
Set that story to music, Peters, because when we get to police headquarters, you're going to sing. Well, I guess that's about all there is to tell, Mary. When Peters got through talking, Faraday had Lewis in jail.
That clears up everything, Blackie, except why you wanted to get in to see Bellows in the first place.
Because Charlie here asked me to.
Oh. I didn't know it was going to get you into such trouble, Blackie.
Oh, I don't mind trouble, Charlie. But I do like to know why I'm getting into it. You never did tell me why you wanted me to see Bellows.
Well, Bellows was an engineer in one of my plants a few years ago. He disappeared with some important blueprints. For business reasons, I had to find Bellows and recover the prints quietly. I thought it would be best to come to you.
Well, we certainly had a quiet time of it, didn't we?
Hey, let's not forget that Charlie's dog helped solve this case.
Yes, I suppose Happy did have a share in this, didn't he?
Sure. I think Inspector Faraday should give Happy a medal.
Or make him a member of the force.
Oh, Blackie, don't be silly. How could Happy be a police dog? He doesn't even begin to look like one.
Secret Service.
Ooh, yikes.